Good day, patrons. It's so pleasant to talk with you again on this glorious Monday. Giving you a little heads up on what's coming this week. I'll be out Thursday and Friday, so you'll get Mr. Justin Robert Young hosting on Thursday, and Ms. Jen Cutter and Roger Chang hosting on Friday.
So be here for Friday.
Yeah, please. So don't miss Fridays. Don't miss.
Yeah, you know what? I think part of what
I mean, it's don't miss for you, Roger, is what I'm saying. Don't miss Friday.
Yes, don't miss. I'm like, I'm really anxious about how I'm going to do everything at once. Like talk and press buttons.
Yeah, showing the screens, you could. I will give you permission to not show the screens. I would deprioritize that. Ms. Belmont, we are recording audio. Just as a warning. Just okay. So as you knows.
Getting the mic set up.
Cool. I'm excited about our topic.
Your mic sounds weird. Are you holding it to your mouth?
You are so oversensitive about that. Oh God.
To which I'll say, no, I'm not. Yet.
Let me know when it should sound the way you intend it to sound, and I'll let you know how it sounds.
Listen. I sometimes believe that Veronica has a strong desire to punch me in the side of my head.
She's like, that's because sometimes we do.
I mean, I have a strong desire to punch a lot of people in the side of the head.
I'm not.
It's not just you. Don't feel like.
Don't feel singled out.
Yeah.
Does it sound the way it's supposed to sound now?
Tap it just to be sure. It sounds pretty good. No, I don't think it's picking that one up. Check Hangouts and make sure Hangouts.
I am.
Scratch it with your nail.
That's what it said.
Like just.
There we go.
Okay.
That's right.
Yep.
That's right.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
How was
did
your
you
weekend?
Get the,
you're so welcome. Oh. What? Did I get what?
Did you get the second text I sent you, or did nothing come through?
On my birthday?
Yeah. Nothing came through for me.
No, I only got the last thing I said. I said thank you. That's the last thing I saw.
Ah, son of a. You know, this sucks.
What's wrong?
Did you have any birthday fun this weekend?
I had all the birthday fun. My husband is amazing and planned like an entire weekend of fun activities and relaxing stuff and wine drinking and good times. So it was a great weekend.
Nice.
Eileen and I didn't do crap for each other this year.
That's what Jen and I don't do. It's like we'll just go.
Sometimes we do though. Like 1 year, she surprised me with Dodgers tickets, and I'm sure I've done stuff. No, I have.
Dodgers tickets. That's a terrible present.
No, it was Dodgers Cardinals.
Oh, okay, that's good.
But yeah, this year she was like, "What do you want to do on your birthday?" And I'm like, "I don't know. I've got a lot of work to do that day." I can't really do anything. And then I was like, well, what do you want to do? Do you want to do something the weekend after? She's like, yeah, but that won't be my birthday. And I'm like, you're a very strict constructionist on this point. I respect that. So on her birthday, she worked a half day. She was able to get a half day off and she went to the spa and just relaxed.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, so it wasn't bad.
Good. Yeah, Ryan got me a massage. I had a massage.
That's great.
We went to a fun winery and did a wine tasting. We hung out at the spa pool for the afternoon.
Very cool.
We just sat around and read a lot, just like relaxed.
That sounds lovely.
Yeah, it was great.
Did you see the app in the DNA app store about wine?
No.
There's one that will take your sequence DNA and try to match it to wines it thinks will taste good to you.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I'm a little suspicious on the science behind that. But there is science that says you can tell like, oh, these people are super tasters and these people taste bitter more and stuff like that. So that's what they're trying to use, I think. I'm not sure how well that works, though.
Mm. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff in here. Interesting.
And they also have a wine club associated. You could be in a genetic wine club.
Oh, it's so nerdy. It's so silly. Oh yeah, Wine Explorer.
Can you
by Vino? That's clever. Vino and Genome. That's clever.
My Venome is mostly reds.
Whatever comes out of this bottle.
My Venome is wine.
My Venome is fermented grapes of any kind.
I like it.
That's why you pay the whatever it is, the $80. I can't remember how much it is. And then you get a thing back like all of it.
You like wine. That's
you like it all.
You like all wine except oaky shards.
What's oaky shards?
Chardonnay.
Ah, oaky Chardonnay. Got it. Yeah. Got it. I thought there was a brand called Oaky Shards. Like S-H-A-R-D. I was thinking casks. Mm-hmm. I don't know why.
Shards. Shardy wine. Mm-mm-mm-mm. Have a nice day, Slater. I don't have any other more. I don't have any other stingers. Not stingers. Any other
have a radio nice bumpers. Day.
That one's always nice.
Hate it.
I don't want to have a nice day. Don't tell me what kind of day to have. Are you having a nice day, Veronica?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I refuse.
Did anything show up?
I don't
on your
know
phone?
How to say Sundar's last name.
Pichai.
Pichai, thank you. What? What's a prop? What'd you say?
Oh, did you see? Did you check your phone?
No.
Okay.
I don't have my phone down here.
Oh, no worries.
Okay.
You can check it after.
Okay.
I'm going to guess it's something to do with Roger's daughter.
I'm going to guess it's a happy baby dancing video. Am I right?
No.
No? Just happy baby. Okay.
We got a video of Ellie playing with Ray and Sawyer this weekend.
Aw.
Yeah. They were very nice.
She really likes like, God, don't smack the dog. Don't
basically,
smack the
this dog. This is the way it went. Ray was an angel, and it was Ellie. Be careful! Don't run up and scare Ray. And then Sawyer was a brat, and it was Sawyer. Be careful! Don't run up and scare Ellie. It was like the chain of behavior. But they were all really good, actually.
She tried to pet Ray, but she got close enough where her hand was maybe half an inch away, and then she would run back.
Like, Ray was just laying there. She's like, whatever, cool, you can bet me. And she was like, and then Sawyer kept running up to her like, come on, let's run, let's play. Let's do this. Sawyer's down here right now. Probably shouldn't have let him, but he seemed needy this morning.
Needy dog.
So the postman will definitely come during the show and he will start barking. I'm just going to guarantee that right now.
The postman barks twice.
Yeah. I mean, I'll say this for Sawyer the dog. He is dog. Like, capital D-O-G. Boy pees on fire hydrants and barks at the postman and goes
I
crazy
am
for
dog.
Snossages. Whatever stereotype you could think of.
Walked in his hind leg out of amusement.
Yes. Goes rut-row.
All his mysteries with a bunch of teenagers crammed together in a minivan.
Yep. Oh, yep. Lays on his back on top of his doghouse.
A Walter Mitty of canines.
All right, let's get this video rolling. I should straighten my collar if we're going to do that. Hi. Oh, I'm just getting ready here, everyone. Hello. I didn't see you there.
Oh, hi.
Oh, hi. Veronica had a lovely birthday weekend. We were talking about it earlier.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to know everything Veronica did on her birthday weekend, subscribe to our Patreon.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. You betcha. How's everything else, Veronica?
Fine.
All right. Are you ready?
It's good. Sure.
Have you read over your...
Nope.
Hard to pronounce names?
Nope.
I didn't give you Didi Shuxing.
Thank you.
Do you want to read it? I don't think you have anything that bad.
Nope.
Oh, I did give you Kongsberg Gruppen.
I'll say it just like that.
Kongsberg Gruppen. Do, 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 do.
Have do. A nice day. Ooh, Delaware governor signs blockchain legislation into law.
Ooh.
Should do everything in a breathy voice.
Wow.
This is sexy.
Okay, that's
actually no. That is that's actually clipping the mic.
I'm talking with you.
That is the definition of clipping right there.
I don't know why.
Why is your whispering clipping? That is the weirdest thing ever.
A lot of wind.
After weeks of anticipation, Delaware Governor John C. Carney Jr. signed a bill making it explicitly legal for entities to use blockchain for stock trading and record keeping.
Is it Carney? What?
His last name is Carney. Let's just not pick on someone for a last name, Chang.
Uh-huh. And?
Belmont is not a vampire hunter. I do not merit anything. And your name's Chang. I have nothing for this one.
Yeah, exactly.
Your name's probably normal.
You take your silver and throw it down the stairs.
What? Did someone ever say that to you?
That's like one of those common ethnic jokes that you get or I get.
I would go with more like add an E and it's change.
That's what they had at the one CES or not CES E3 2005. The GameStop booth was right next to the Sony one, and they had their showing off the PSP, and the whole thing was change, but they made the E backwards, so it just looked like Chang. It's like, way, they're celebrating me. Gimme, gimme, gimme.
All right. Well, let's just go ahead and get started then.
Okay.
Let me control. Give you control. Are you ready, Ms. Belmont?
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. Daily Tech News Show is powered by you. To find out more, head to dailytechnewsshow.com/support. This is the Daily Tech News for Monday, July 24th, 2017. I'm Tom Merritt, Veronica Belmont alongside. How is it going, Ms. Belmont?
Good. I'm older now.
Oh, congratulations on making it on another trip around the sun.
Thank you.
So you're still younger than me, though, right? You didn't pass me?
Forevermore. Forevermore. And the Raven says forever.
Maybe I'll find something in the DNA app store to change that.
Whoa. Good future segue.
Yeah, no, if that sounds like, what is it really? Like, it's literally, okay. If you're thinking you can buy people's DNA, it's not that. But it is an app store for ways to interpret your DNA, which I find fascinating. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. Let's start with a few tech things you should know. Ride-hailing company Grab has received $2 billion in financing from Didi Chuxing and SoftBank. Now, if you want to keep this straight, follow me closely. Didi Chuxing operates a ride-hailing service of its own in China. Grab operates mostly in Southeast Asia. Grab is competing in a lot of those markets with Uber, but Uber is no longer competing with Didi Chuxing because it sold its Chinese operations to Didi Chuxing last year.
I'm confused.
So basically, Grab is getting money to fight Uber outside of China.
Okay. Perfect. Sundar Pichai has been appointed to the board of directors of Alphabet. He's the board's 13th member and remains CEO of Alphabet company Google. Diane Gree, head of Google Cloud, was a board member before joining Google and is the only other Alphabet board member from Google.
I mean, if I were going to be Game of Thronesy about this, I'd say this was positioning Sundar to be moved out of the CEO position potentially, because you give somebody a board seat to thank them for their service, but it probably doesn't mean that, to be honest.
Well, maybe. I'm not sure who would be next in line.
Diane Green.
Green. Sorry, it was written Gree. I retconned her name.
My apologies, Ms. Green, for casting aspersions on your name and also misspelling it. E.S. Jung, Executive Vice President and Head of Samsung's Chip Foundry Division, told Reuters Samsung wants 25% market share in chip contract manufacturing within 5 years. Samsung split its contract chip manufacturing away from the rest of its semiconductor business in May. So Samsung makes its own, like, Exynos chips. That's now separate from Samsung just saying, we're a foundry, who wants to rent us? And we'll build chips to your design. For instance, Apple, we would like to get your business back for that. So they're going head-to-head with TSMC.
All right. As part of a review of Amazon's proposed purchase of Whole Foods, the U.S. Federal Trade Commission is looking into Amazon's practice of advertising discounts. Amazon is accused of advertising discounts from prices higher than what Amazon previously sold the product for, which could constitute deceptive pricing.
That's, I mean, not unusual that the FTC is looking into Amazon Whole Foods for sure. It's Amazon denies that this is a problem. They say we compare it to our own but other retail prices, and that's fair. So it'll be interesting to see where that goes. Here are some more top stories. Microsoft announced it will add an AI chip to the next version of its HoloLens augmented reality headset, or as they call it, mixed reality. I call it mixed up reality. No, I don't. The AI coprocessor would mean faster processing times and more mobility, since data wouldn't have to go to the internet. You wouldn't have to go up to the cloud every time you want to process something. It would happen on the headset. Microsoft is designing this chip itself, and Samsung's over there going, we'll build it for you.
Hey guys. Hey, we can do that.
Actually, Samsung mostly does memory, but I'm sure they wouldn't mind talking to Microsoft about it. Pretty cool, though, because it could mean less need to have the HoloLens connected by wires or wireless, and you'd be able to play offline more often, stuff like that.
Did you talk about that article that was floating around about the overuse of the term AI?
No, I haven't seen that, but AI is definitely getting thrown around a lot right now.
Okay. Yeah, in places it probably doesn't belong. Just going to put that out there.
Yeah, I don't know that this is an example of that or not. I don't know enough about the coprocessor, but I can imagine it either way. I can imagine it being a legitimate, like, machine learning processor on there, sure. I could also imagine it not really doing AI stuff. Yeah.
Microsoft has listed the program Paint as deprecated in the fall creators update of Windows 10. Deprecated software is no longer developed or maintained. A newer version called Paint 3D was released last year and will become the only supported version of Paint in Windows.
Paint
or went out for a painting.
Survived by its ancestor, by its descendant, Paint 3D. I mean, first
Not
of all,
same.
Deprecated doesn't mean removed. So Paint will still be there for a while. Outlook Express, for instance, survived a long time. I think it was just removed in the last update. Or maybe it's being removed in this update, but it, you know, it just didn't get developed. And that's what's happening to Paint. Paint will still be there. It just won't be developed. So it will start to age. It'll start to look weird.
I don't even know how to take screen grabs on Windows without Paint. Like, I don't even know.
You can just do print screen.
I don't. Yeah. But doesn't that just go, that just always opened in Paint for me.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, you could still get the screen capture without having it auto open in Paint, and you could have it auto open in Paint 3D.
Tom, you're just confusing me.
But Paint 3D is going to be the thing that you use for this stuff. It's just kind of, you know, this has been there since Microsoft Windows 1.0.
I know.
I miss Reversi still, so I'm certainly not going to let go of Paint very easily. No one else remembers Reversi. The Financial Times reports China's Bingo Box has more than 12 unmanned convenience stores in operation, with almost 200 more planned by the end of August. Customers unlock the door with an app and then scan items for payment. Theft is deterred by video monitoring and China's policy of real name registration. A rival store called F5 Future Store has 6 outlets in China. So while Amazon and Alibaba are playing around with these super fancy versions where you just walk in and walk out with your stuff and they scan you the whole time, these smaller companies are making a lot of headway with a slightly simpler concept.
That's so cool. Oh, man, I love stuff like that. I really want this to come to the United States, although I feel like it's going to be abused horribly because people don't care if they're on video. They don't care. They don't give a crap.
That might be true. And the other thing is the neighbors, they always put these in low crime neighborhoods. They described it as, we don't put them where there are hooligans. I don't know if that's a translation from the Chinese or not, but it's pretty hilarious. But yeah, it depends on where you put them too, whether this kind of thing can work. I do like the idea of somebody trying something a little simpler than what Amazon's trying. Amazon and Baidu in their various countries are basically trying to come up with a thing where you wouldn't need video. It would just track you the moment you went in and know, like, we know who you are and we're just going to charge you. Like, there's nothing you can do. If you walk out of our store with the thing, we will charge you, which is a little more theft proof, but...
Also, if they don't come to the United States and keep the name Bingo Box and F5 Future Store, I'm going to be very upset.
I know. Bingo
those are
Box
amazing.
Is the best.
Bingo Box.
Does somebody else have that trade name?
I don't know. Let's make it happen. The Wall Street Journal reports that Yara International and Kongsberg Gruppen have developed a 100-container automated ship that will eventually have no crew. Their Norwegian-built Yara Birkeland is set to be launched sometime in 2018 with GPS, radar, cameras, and sensors. It will be launched with a crew, move to remote operation in 2019, and become fully autonomous in 2020.
And then fully sentient in 2020.
Yeah, right. With AI. The ship costs around $25 million, about three times as much as a traditional cargo ship. And this is super interesting because the cargo shipping industry is undergoing major issues right now. Like, a lot of the big shipping companies are going bankrupt, having trouble. They basically, like, they built these giant super cargo ships, and those have, like, not done very well. It's a really, I mean, this could maybe be the shakeup that helps the industry, this kind of thing where they cut down operations. They spend more money on the front end, but they cut down operations on people and by kind of streamlining the rest of the process through automation. So, I mean, it sucks for the people who work on the ships, but at the same time, it might keep these industries open, you know, for the future.
Yeah, and increased capacity. Even though this ship costs around $25 million, it's expected to pay for itself in the savings of operation over the course of its lifetime.
Does $25 million not seem like that much money for an autonomous cargo ship?
Right, yeah.
Right?
I mean, so that would imply that a normal cargo ship costs about $8 million. But that's a lot. That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
For me. I'm not going to be building my own cargo ship.
Yeah.
And anytime we have this kind of story, and the one before us too with the convenience store, it's eliminating a type of job. Mm-hmm. And so keep in mind that there isn't just one type of job, or there is not a limited amount of jobs. And when we eliminate one, that's work that will never be replaced by another type of job. These types of things generally cause companies to say, we will now be able to hire new types of jobs that we couldn't afford to before because we were spending all our money staffing the cargo ships. But there is also the problem of people who are like, but all I know is how to operate a ship. And if I can't operate the ship and you didn't hire me for logistics on shore, I need help transitioning. So it's a tricky subject because it's not as simple as like, this just eliminated jobs and now fewer people will be able to work. That's not how it works. But it also doesn't mean there won't be some pain in the transitions.
There always is. Yeah.
I just want to add my two cents. I think there's also, so part of the money thing with shipping is there was a glut of shipbuilding back when everyone was training and they didn't think there would be an end to it. The other thing, there wasn't enough crews to man all the ships to 100%. So this could be a good way because then you can more effectively allocate resources and still be flexible to demands, right? Nice. Because the shipping route won't be from like the Indian Ocean to the Pacific or from the Indian Ocean to the Atlantic.
Needs. Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. And so you could effectively say, well, you know what? Market's changed. I got a ship that can sail itself for the most part, maybe just a handful of crew to make sure it doesn't crash into an iceberg. And you can more effectively figure out where you can start putting your money instead of having to have ships of a certain size, of a certain capacity, really only make money when they're full. If you're half capacity, even if you're running from both sides of the Pacific or the Atlantic, you might be losing money because you're not running your full capacity. So this could help effectively allocate all those issues or not.
Cool.
We'll see.
Awesome.
Thanks, Rog.
Yeah, thank you, Roger. That's
good insight.
And if you like this sort of thing, Big Jim in our chat room and in our audience operates thetradenerd.com and does the Tech in Trade podcast. You can find out all kinds of cool stuff about how this affects shipping and logistics. Finally, at a party on August 1st, Wisconsin's Three Square Market will offer its employees the opportunity to have an NFC chip implanted between their thumb and forefinger. About 50 employees are expected to volunteer for the implants. Employees with the chips will be able to log into their computers, use copy machines, open doors, and buy snacks. Three Square Market, aka 32M, is a vending kiosk company. So this kind of goes right along with their business. It's a little bit of a press grab. They're not the first company to do this. There's a few European companies who have done this sort of thing. It's a biohacking movement that's happening that encourages this.
I have been asking for this forever.
I know.
Forever.
You're like, how could I work for Three Square Market so I can get this chip in my thumb? Thumb and forefinger, though, like that's kind of a soft part.
That's like, yeah, I cut myself there once. I already had to have stitches there once. So maybe.
Oh, well, there, you've already got some room. Just pop those back open.
Gross.
But seriously, like there is a privacy concern with this, right? Mm-hmm. Like as much as it would be great to just be like, hey, I can just wave my hand at stuff and pay for it and unlock stuff. You also need to be able to not do that and not have anyone scan that chip when it's not authorized. And one of the easiest ways to do that right now is put your phone away or take off the ring or whatever it is. You can't really do that if it's implanted in your hand.
No, that's very true. And this is going to be a problem that only gets worse with age. We're going to see, it's going to become a lot more common than we're going to start the same way we're seeing with the Internet of Things, the kind of security vulnerabilities that become apparent over time with having these kinds of devices in your home with their varying levels of security. NFC is not completely secure. Bluetooth is not completely secure. There's going to be problems with this kind of technology, especially when it becomes a permanent fixture in your body.
Yeah.
Or a semi-permanent fixture.
The security stuff can be mitigated. I always hesitate to say any kind of security problem could be fixed because it's an ongoing battle. But, things like what IBM's experimenting with where you can secure an entire enterprise and just encrypt everything. I mean, the potential is there to make those sorts of things a lot more secure than they are right now. But even if you fix that, you can't fix the fact that it's in your body and, we've all seen the movies where you have to dig out the chip. It's not pleasant. So that's something you want to have to do. So I don't know what you do about that. I also fully admit right now that for years, Scott Johnson and I particularly have been talking about someday kids are going to be talking about you get the implant. Come on, Grandpa, and we're going to resist. And this could be it. This could be that thing where I'm like, I don't know. I don't know if I want that.
Yeah.
Folks, if you want to get all the tech headlines each day in about 5 minutes, you can keep up to date on all the stuff. We had stories in there like NES Classic or the SNES Classic accidentally going on sale on Walmart Friday and the fallout from that. Go subscribe at dailytechheadlines.com or you can get it as a flash briefing on the Amazon Echo or in the Anchor app, which you can get in the App Store or at anchor.fm. Okay, a startup called Helix is launching a website. It's up right now where you can go helix.com/shop and buy apps for mobile or desktop to explore your genome. Now, Helix charges you $80 for a partial sequencing of your genome. So you just have to do that once. And then after you do that, you can choose from a bunch of different apps. They're priced at various amounts in addition to your $80. Areas like Ancestry, Health, Fitness, etc. About a dozen companies have apps in the DNA App Store, and there's some interesting stuff in there. But Veronica, I know both you and I have done 23andMe. This is different than that. 23andMe and Ancestry DNA do genotyping, but Helix is doing a partial sequence, including the exome, which are the expressed parts of your gene that make proteins.
Yes, that was exactly what I was just going to say.
Oh shoot! I didn't mean to steal your words. But so you've does this sound good to you? Like it's not sequencing the entire genome. That's still more expensive.
Yeah, I mean, it does sound very cool. I like the idea. I've been happy throughout the years of my continually upgraded information that I receive from 23andMe as their technology gets better and they run new research. And they typically start to learn a lot more about the genotyping that they've done with your spit over time. This is cool, but at the same time, I feel like it's a little more, how do I say, like trendy in a way. Mm. Like, I almost feel like some of these apps are kind of jokey, almost like the wine one. There's one called Vinome that's supposed to be able to tell you what kinds of wine you'll like based on based on your genome. And that seems a little bit like, ooh, I don't know about that one. Yeah, Wine Explorer is what it's called. And that- you're supposed to find hard-to-find curated wines uniquely tailored to your taste preferences and scientifically selected based on your DNA. Like, I just want to know if I'm, like, predisposed to certain types of cancer. I don't really need to know, like, what kind of wine maybe I'll like better. I know what kind of wine I like. It's most wines. Like, I don't well, need to pay okay. for that.
I think you're right that there's some trendy stuff. You know, like the one that prints certain parts of your unique DNA sequence onto a scarf. I'm sure a lot of you will think that's cool. I got a scarf with some DNA once from Rogue Tess. It's awesome. That is very trendy and a little bit, you know, on the whimsical side. I get that. All of these give you the science behind them. Now, there's not a lot of science behind the scarf other than, like, this is the sequence that's unique right. to, in almost every
person. I have a QR code based on my DNA also. DNA.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The wine one does base itself on science. And I'll give Helix credit for having a section called the science behind it on each one of these, telling you, you know, especially the medical ones, like, here's what you actually will find out and here's what you won't. There's a lot of worry about whether companies will be responsible with this sort of thing, because it's easy to overpromise and scare people with the medical stuff. But getting back to the wine one, there is science behind that. You know, you can tell whether people are more likely to taste certain bitter compounds or yeah, but sweetness that's, compounds.
So this is the thing that drives me nuts, because I'm a bitter taster, for example. But I like how bitter it tastes. So they're making assumptions on your personal taste. Well,
I don't know what assumptions they're making. Maybe they say, oh, bitter tasters should get more bitter wine. And then you'll be like, oh, this actually really works. That's the part that is less clear to me. It's like, okay, there's science that tells you how people taste. How you apply that to picking a wine is the part where I'm not sure if that works or not.
Yeah, I guess it just seems a little like, I don't know, pseudosciency to me a little bit, which I understand that there's science behind it.
It's half science to me, right? It's yeah. like, oh, you've got science. There's a real part of this that's science. There's another part of it that I don't know is science. And I don't know that I could.
But there's other things that it can do that probably, yeah. you know, I mean, there's a lot more information here by
there's
sequencing
genetic
the DNA.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of cool stuff that they can do. So I think I'm moderately excited for the technology. I like that you can choose which kinds of things that you can get the apps for. But at the same time, I'm like, with 23andMe, I paid a lot more upfront perhaps, but I'm going to keep getting stuff for free for like many, yeah. many years. I don't have to pick and choose. I don't have to be selective. It just gives me all the information as it becomes available.
It is a little Android versus iOS, right? Mm-hmm. Like Helix is giving you control. They're saying, hey, we're just going to charge you a lot less, $80 rather than around $200. We're also going to give you more information because we're partially sequencing. We're not just doing genotype, but you have to pay for the parts that you want. So you have control over what parts you get, whereas 23andMe, it's you pay more upfront, but then from then on, you just get everything we can, and we don't have as much information, so we won't necessarily give you everything that Helix could give you, but you won't have to think about it. You'll just get it. So I think it's an interesting development, not even just from the Helix versus 23andMe standpoint, but from the standpoint of these things are getting cheaper and cheaper and cheaper.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the idea of making it a platform that says, look, we're just the company. You only have to trust us with your DNA. Like, we're the company that you put your DNA, and then we empower these other companies to make use of it. And you decide which ones of those companies you want to share your information with or not.
I do. This does make me want to go the route of trying to get my entire genome sequenced by using something like Veritas Genetics, where you get the whole genome for $1,000. That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money right now. And that price is coming down.
Yeah. So maybe if I wait a few years.
Because
what if I learned valuable stuff that could make me live longer now if I knew what it was?
If you only knew this in 2017, Veronica, we could have saved you. But now you'll only live a normal lifespan instead of thousands of years.
Damn.
Yeah. That is my personal fear, that I will be the last person to die. Like, they will be like, oh, tomorrow we're pretty sure we're discovering the solution to immortality. Sorry, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally. Totally. Let's get your brain frozen. Problem solved.
I don't think that really. Talk about. I mean, I'll trust the wine app.
The wine app before the brain freezing. The cryogenics.
Yeah. I think this is incredibly fascinating, and I think it's an area to watch. We're going to see more companies turning sequencing your DNA into a commodity, and that $1,000 is going to come down. And once you can sequence someone's entire DNA, there are limits to what you can do with it, but you can do a lot more. And this sort of platform is really interesting to keep an eye on.
These apps, though, just real fast, are not cheap. Like the Explorigen, the one that's sleep patterns, whether you're a morning person or night owl, $25. Wine Explorer is $30. Incitome, I guess.
Incitome, I would get, because genome.
Incitome,
I guess, yeah.
I guess it shows you how, what percentage of Neanderthal DNA you have. So $30.
Yeah, and I already get that from 23andMe, so I wouldn't pay for that one, right? Mm-hmm. But maybe if I didn't have 23andMe, I might be into it. $30 seems high for that. Some of these others are in the hundreds of dollars. So yeah, you can end up spending a lot more than you would on 23andMe, but that's the App Store model, right? It's like, they'll get
that's
you in
right.
It's the free, it's not freemium because you're paying $80 to get sequenced, but give you a low price on the sequencing and then get you in the door and get you to pay for other things. There are serious apps in here too. Mayo Clinic and Mount Sinai Health are working on apps. There's a diabetes test, a cholesterol test. There's even one that fascinated me called Meal Planner, where they give you a 12-week program of meals they think are nutritionally suited to you and that you might like. That one's $120, though.
Oh, that's too much money. Fill out a survey. Just like fill out a Google form and say what you like and then have someone, whatever.
But this one will be able to tell things about like what kind of vitamins your body is likely to process better. I mean, I get, again, there's some science
behind
it.
Tell me which things make me gassy.
Yeah, maybe. Would that be worth $130?
That might be worth. Yeah. I already know it's broccoli.
Well, that's the thing. A lot of this stuff you can deduce on your own through
cauliflower
experience. But real quickly, before we do move off of this, I want to point out that Helix is partly funded by Illumina, which is the leading manufacturer of ultra-fast DNA sequencing machines. So the more people that can get to use Helix, the more of those machines Helix will need. So there's a vested interest there. And the other thing is, if you're still confused, like, wait, what's a genotype versus the partial sequencing? I mean, this isn't a biotech show, so I don't want to go too far into it. But I had it explained to me really well once, and I thought this worked for me. Veronica, you tell me if this works for you. Let's say there's a bunch of lights coming from across the street, and you're trying to figure out where the lights are coming from. Genotyping would be just looking across the street from where you are and pointing and going, well, the light seems to be coming from over there on the left and over there on the right. Right. And so you've got some information and you can do what you want with that. Sequencing would be walking over to the other side of the street and finding a bank of lights and saying, the third one from the right is on, is flashing on. And then complete sequencing would be walking all the way down the street and finding all the lights.
That's a weird, I don't really understand that example, but okay.
It's not a real life example because none of us have flashing lights across the street from us.
I don't understand.
But I get what they're after, which is like, you can genotyping is saying there's a variable that we can see, but we're not actually going in and finding the ACT, you know, we're like not finding every bit. And with sequencing, they're going in and finding every bit.
Okay. Cool. That's cool. I'm into it. I want to do that. I just don't want to pay $35 for an app.
Well, yeah. Maybe the prices will come down if more people do.
Yeah.
Anyway, Poodle Puncher does point out that at Christmas, you will often have lights flashing across the streets. There you go. Thanks to everybody who participates in our subreddit. You can submit stories and vote on them at dailytechnewsshow.reddit.com and facebook.com/dailytechnewsshow. Time to check in with Chris Christensen. Find out what's going on in the world of travel.
This is Chris Christensen from Amateur Traveler with another Tech in Travel Minute. One piece of good news and one piece of science fiction. The piece of good news is the laptop ban we've talked about a couple times on this segment is done. The Trump administration says that there's no need for it anymore because they've gotten what they wanted in terms of additional security. Whether that's the reason or not, it's done, and I'm glad to see it go. In terms of sci-fi, Tom, you were talking recently on the show about the Hyperloop. There has been a suggestion made, in fact, that has won a design award for hotels about a hotel that would travel around the country as a car in the Hyperloop, kind of like the old railroad cars, except a whole lot faster. An interesting idea. If we get a Hyperloop, maybe we'll also get really fast hotels. I'm Chris Christensen. From Amateur Traveler.
So the idea of the sleeper car was it took you a long time to get somewhere, so you needed to sleep. But I guess the idea of the sleeper Hyperloop car would be like, it's just cool to like go to sleep in San Francisco and wake up in Argentina or something.
I know. Where would you even be able to sleep for 8 hours that you wouldn't already be at your destination?
I know. Right. I guess the idea would be maybe it's just constantly looping, you know?
It's
like a cruise ship.
Yeah, maybe. I do want to try that bus. This is a different story. That bus that goes from San Francisco to LA. I think it's called Coach, maybe, or Cabin. And it's just like a red eye bus, but it's like decked out really nice, like a sleeper car and a train. And it's supposed to be not that expensive either, like less than a flight.
And yeah, the idea is that you take the time that you would normally be sleeping.
Right.
And they just drive you from one city to the other. And then you wake up the next morning and you're refreshed because they've given you they're not packing you into small Greyhound seats. They're giving you a nice big
lay down thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh.
Yeah. I've heard about that.
I can't remember which one is what it's called.
Either. I think it's called Cabin.
Okay.
Anyway, similar idea.
Interesting. Well, maybe Chris will cover that as well. You can go check out what Chris Christensen has to say about travel at theamateurtraveler.com. I'm sorry, amateurtraveler.com. The website, amateurtraveler.com. And send your picks to us, folks. Feedback at dailytechnewsshow.com. Messages of the day. I will read the first one. Mike in sunny Kansas City says, on Friday, Shannon mentioned the Philips Hue first gen was not supported with the Amazon Echo. This reminded me about home-assistant.io. Home Assistant is an open source project that allows you to take control of your Internet of Things platforms and essentially bridges the APIs. I imagine with a little bit of code, you could easily set up an Echo to interact with the first gen Hue. It's built on Python and easily runs on a Raspberry Pi. For any listener interested in knowing how to get started, Ben from the YouTube channel Bruh Automation, B-R-U-H, has great tutorials. You can find Home Assistant at home-assistant.io and Ben's tutorials at bruhautomation.com. Bruh Automation.
Not too different from like IFT, for example.
Yeah, it's got kind of the same idea, except it's open source instead of run by an independent company. Thank you, Mike. Would you mind reading the next one?
Sure. DTNS patron Anthony from hot and humid Long Island says, just got this app on the Apple Store. It has an interactive map that will show you the eclipse path. If you put it in your location, it will show you the times of the event and how much the sun will be eclipsed. I'm still poking around the app, but so far I love it. It is called Eclipse Safari by Simulation Curriculum Corporation.
Yeah. So if you're getting excited about the eclipse coming up in August, you can go check that out. And finally, Dwayne in Germany, reporting in on an enterprise installation of Windows 10, said, what a day I had today, swapping out PCs that are Windows 10 ready. Spent the day migrating data onto Windows 10 PCs in my vault. The Windows 10 migration is going really fast. Happening a lot faster than the Win 7 migration from Vista and a whole lot easier. For instance, Outlook was a breeze, unlike with Windows 7. It was basically a one-button setup procedure after clicking on the icon. Amazing! Edge has some issues with compatibility with some of our military sites and programs. I knew this would be an issue, so IE is front and center on the taskbar. It works for standard websites. Surprisingly, the store is accessible, but I don't know what the limitations are as of yet. Cortana is also available for PC and web search, but it requires a login for all the other features. I thought about logging in with my Microsoft ID, but then I came to my senses. They track everything on military PCs. Tomorrow I'm going to check it out a bit more, but man, this transition is really smooth and fast. And Dwayne works for the Air Force. If you're wondering, he does not work for Microsoft. I just thought it was great to finally get an email where someone's like, did a thing and it worked out really well, instead of the horror stories that we often get instead.
Blazing fast. Nice.
So thank you, Dwayne. And thank you, Veronica Belmont. What do you got going on to tell folks about?
Oh, episode 3 of IRL is out today. More security stuff. We're doing the first 3 episodes were kind of connected about their various topics. This is called Hack Jobs. We talked to some white hat hackers. We talked to some ex-former hackers. It's really interesting. So check it out at irlpodcast.org.
Excellent. Thank you to everybody who supports this show and gives a little value back for the value they get from it. Our goal every month is to get one patron more than last month, and we're ahead of that goal right now. So thank you, thank you, thank you for that. Patreon.com/DTNS. And hey, if you watch the show on DiamondClub.tv, be sure to tell the community what you think of it and what features you like or might want the community to add. It's a community-run site, so they need community feedback. Go to dctv.link. 2017 to take the survey. It'll only take you a couple minutes. I took it this morning myself. Our email address is feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com. We're live Monday through Friday, 4:30 p.m. Eastern, 2030 UTC at alphageekradio.com and diamondclub.tv. And our website is dailytechnewsshow.com. Back tomorrow with Jason Howell as our guest. Talk to you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
DNA. DNA. You seem less enthusiastic about the DNA store than I thought you would be.
Oh. Yes, you did seem surprised when I took a more... cynical route.
I was confusing your enthusiasm for being chipped yeah. with your general enthusiasm for DNA.
That's possible. Anywho.
Anyway, what should we call this show?
We should call it Finished.
Yes. One of these days that will actually be the title of the show.
Like watching paint die.
Like watching paint die?
I don't get it.
Wait a minute.
And whatever floats your bot? This isn't... Is Dark Redeemer just making up things?
Whatever floats your bot would be the cargo ship.
Okay. Yeah.
That one makes sense.
All right, that one makes sense.
Like watching paint die. It's like a riddle.
Like Microsoft Paint.
Oh.
I was wondering if he meant to spell die, D-Y-E.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yes.
Now that I understand it, it's funny.
self-driving Bodie McBoatface.
Yeah, all right. Okay. Sure.
Don't rock the bot. Don't rock the bot.
Bodie McBoatface was already autonomous, by the way. So that's redundant.
Mm. Well, maybe all self-driving ships should start with the name McBoat.
Bodie McBoatface. Bodie McBoatface was an unmanned vehicle. So, just saying.
It's forevermore.
Actually, it might not be self-driving. It might be human-driven, just remotely.
Remotely
you
operated.
You mean a remotely piloted vehicle?
Stage 2.
You don't like
hooligan-free shops?
Hooligan-free shops? No.
You don't like that one?
No.
Bingo is its name-o. Samsung puts its chips on the table.
Ah.
That's funny.
I am the capt all now.
Oh my gosh.
Captain AI.
Self-driving pirate ships. If you track it, better to put a chip on it.
Tom tells us how people taste.
Paint joins Clippy. Paint is now dry. Shop till you bought.
Maybe science?
We run a bite ship.
Ah.
Science-tomation. Buy-ins.
Come on, Grandpa. Time to get chipped.
We'll put it in your neck like the dog. Broccoli makes me gassy. Fast women and fast hotels. Rip pain.
Is AI the new OI?
SOS, shipping jobs sailing away. Oh, yeah, that's it. Who's the robo captain now? Getting to know yourself isn't cheap.
Pience. Instead of science.
It's half science to me. Wine apps. I don't need no stinking wine apps. Daily biotech news show. Nipping at the helix of 23andMe. Hyperloop sleeper car charges by the hour.
What do you think, V?
Well, now I kind of like watching paint die.
Yeah, now that we understand it.
Yeah. It's not our, main subject, but...
No, but that's okay. I'm writing the descriptions to be a little more inclusive. It was always a bigger problem when the description would only talk about one thing and the title said something else, but...
I see.
I even put Microsoft Paint in the description, so that would work.
Do
you have any other... any other suggestions, Roger, before we decide for sure?
Head over Helix.
pretty good.
Head for the helix.
Head over helix.
A double helix. Helix. Go to the helix copter.
Nope.
Nothing.
I'm hearing no reactions.
No.
I have to put Roger in the ID3 tags today.
What?
Because he talked.
Because you talked.
Oh, I normally just put you in regardless who talks. Even if you're not here.
Oh.
I shouldn't do that.
You shouldn't put me in when I'm not here. That's false. We'll get the FTC on us.
Why is Tom Merritt not in this episode?
You're advertising a discount.
Why?
You're just done with it all, aren't you, Veronica?
What do you mean?
App Store. Call me when it's real.
So this is called Cabin.
It is called Cabin.
Sleepaway called Cabin might be a good option. Found in 2016, Cabin, formerly known as Sleep Bus, is launching a chartered bus service between LA and SF that allows passengers to fall asleep in one city and wake up in the next for $115 one way.
Okay.
Kind of expensive.
Cheap. It's around the same as airfare.
Yeah, and 23 other people on board. Like, ugh.
No, so the only way it could be considered valuable is if the bus drops you in front of where you need to be. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? It's not dropping you off.
I dispute that is the only way it could be considered valuable.
No, yeah. Okay, let me rephrase that. The only way I would consider it valuable for that money is if it drops you in front of where you need to be.
Yeah, no.
They launched a pilot last year for $48 a ride.
That's what you were probably seeing. Because 48, suddenly it's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, but that's totally just the pilot. That. You need the bus to go with it.
Oh, Roger's a dad. He gets to make fun of jokes.
Get it.
I mean, there's a value to not having to deal with the airport, right?
Mm-hmm.
To being able to just like not waste time, productive time. It's time you'd be asleep anyway, you know, relatively speaking. So to me, it would be like, how sure am I that I'm going to sleep?
Yeah. I mean, I'd have to take a pill for sure.
I could only sleep. And this is the thing. The only time it's restful sleep is if you're in at least semi or fully reclined mode. It's really hard to sleep if you're sitting
I always
up.
Have a harder time sleeping in like hotels the first night. After I've been there a night, then it's fine.
So what you're saying is you need to do one run in the bus and then
I have to do it three nights in a row. Ridecabin.com. I want to see, do they have pictures on there?
Yeah. I did it. I found a Business Insider article about it.
Okay.
Hey, wouldn't it be cool is if you could kind of do that same service but tie it with like a ride sharing carpooling service?
They're like about the size of a capsule hotel.
They say that the review says that the person who tested it out was 5'4" and could not sit up in the cabin, which is mm-hmm. kind of understandable.
Yeah, no, they're definitely like just room for you to lay down.
Mm-hmm.
Also, they're only a curtain.
You know that could be a safety thing.
And there's that makes me creeped out. Like I'd be worried about someone like trying to get into my cabin.
Ugh. Luckily it's so cramped, they won't fit.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, intellectually I know it's not likely, but just that plus noise.
And there's like a hangout area. And they're like, maybe eventually we'll charge more.
This is for extroverts.
Keep you away from like the Yeah, like if they stay up all night talking, I'm going to get really mad. Really, really mad.
Daily Tech News Show
Yeah, not probably for me.
Why don't you fall asleep? Interesting. So how many capsules can fit on the bus? Just like.
It's like 36 or something.
Yeah.
What are the safety features on board?
The bus has wheels and they turn.
Can I share a sleeping cabin with another person? No.
No, they're not big enough.
No.
You wouldn't want that, I don't think.
How many bathrooms on board?
One.
I mean, mostly if it, at night, it's probably not going to get used that much. I don't know. It just looks a little too summer camp. I don't remember sleeping too well at camp.
I don't think anyone did it because it's camp and it's creepy.
I couldn't sleep in college. I couldn't sleep if my dorm roommate was home and had the light on.
Yeah.
I couldn't sleep because my roommate would bring strange men and back the house around 1 to 2 a.m. and then have an argument in front of my room. That's why I couldn't sleep.
Yeah, the noise.
Sorry.
You seem to still have the issues with that roommate.
It's like, really?
I think I understand.
It's like 2 a.m. Why are you having an argument now?
And where is that roommate now?
I have no idea.
Didn't keep touch, huh?
Yeah, no.
All right, friends.
All right. You should take a cabin trip down to LA to visit us and then report what it was like.
Maybe. Right. All righty.
All right.
Thanks.
See you
guys later. Bye.
Have a good day.
Check your phone.
Bye. Okay. Bye.
Check your phone for cute baby pics from Roger. What did I do? Oh, crap.
Uh-oh.
Well, it's not the end of the world. Just uploaded the wrong. Daily Tech News Show.
Continually upgraded information that I receive from 20.
I think I have the wrong ID3 tags. Oh, that's what happened. Okay. It's not, I just put the wrong ID3 tag in. Burp. There we go. All right. Well, I haven't put it anywhere yet, so it's not a problem. So I just need to re-upload.
Re-up.
I need to re-up. There we go. Now we got the right one. Tech news. I need to copy the description again. Yeah, because I uploaded it and then SoundCloud, the link in SoundCloud said the Friday title. And I'm like, wait a minute, did I upload Fridays by accident? But no, I just didn't properly update the ID3 tag. Ethan Kane, when I'm on OS, Mac OS, I use ID3 editor to edit the ID3 tags. I don't remember the name of the thing I use on Windows.
Interesting. Sleeper bus, also known in the USA as an entertainer coach.
An entertainer coach? I've never heard it called that.
It just sounds like a completely different service on the bus. It's like karaoke and like video games. Karaoke video game.
All right. Re-uploading. Man.
Sorry.
WordPress does this weird thing. I always use WordPress in HTML mode, in text mode. I never use visual mode. But if someone ever goes in and looks at a post in visual mode, WordPress helpfully removes certain things from the HTML code. For instance, I'll have ahref equals blank around a link so that I can paste in the link later, yep. Right? It's part of the template. But if somebody goes in and looks at it in visual, WordPress decides, oh, well, that href doesn't point anywhere. We'll just take that out. And it leaves the anchor tag in, but it takes out the href. Just annoying. I'm like, why don't you just leave the code? Just leave the code where it is. Stop trying to polish my code, WordPress.
What if I hit preview? Does that do the same thing?
No, it's either visual or text. There's no preview. Preview doesn't impact that at all.
Because I usually just go to preview to copy the...
No, I know what it is. It's Ethan Kane's going in and working on the show notes, which is awesome. And it's great. And he should do that. And he should do it in visual because it's easier for him to do it that way. I have no problem with that. I have a problem with WordPress munging my code.
Munging.
Yeah, stop munging. You know what munging?
Yeah. Sounds like snuff.
And it's not.
Abuse.
It's totally not a problem. It's just one of those minor annoyances. Fioka, show me in the editor where it touched your code. It was right here on this anchor href tag. Right here. Yeah. It's all right. I can type a couple of quotation marks again. Not a problem. Oh, really? Ethan Kane says it's the same copy-paste process. I thought there might be an advantage to using Visual to copy-paste, like it preserved links or something for you. It is so not his fault, though. The WordPress tool should not work like that.
But it does.
But it does. I know what it's doing. It's trying to clean up code for people so that you have nice, clean code. And I admire that goal. I do.
Oh, I just saw this in the chat room from Ken from Chicago said to us, Tom and Roger, that there's a new James Bond movie coming in 2019.
Link, don't pass along things that you see in chat room unless someone includes a link. Is that true? We don't know. I mean, I actually trust Ken from Chicago pretty well, but still. Please put links when you say something is breaking news. I don't see it. I don't see it anywhere. That's why I didn't say anything about it, because I was like, I don't see it in my feeds. And then I got
deadline.
Distracted.
Here, I'll post it.
Ah, deadline's a good source for this stuff. So it's sources say, or is it announcement?
Next installment James Bond film franchise now has a release
producer
date, but that's
said
today. But there's no other details.
So, yeah, really. So there's another film.
Yes.
We don't know. We can assume that it's probably not Daniel Craig, because he's pretty much indicated he was done. Oh, Daniel Craig, who has one movie left on his deal, is expected to return as 007. So never mind. I'm totally wrong about that.
I want him to fight his evil twin that looks exactly like him, except mirror imaged. So when they do the visual effects, it'll be a little easier.
Okay. Like watching paint die. I have got the post made. I've got the thing published. I'm even going to listen to it now, just to be safe.
Listen to the podcast.
Listen Why don't to you the... listen to what the podcast? I did not listen to podcasts on my drive to San Diego on Saturday.
Because you were trying to figure out your way around traffic.
Exactly. And I don't want to listen to words. So I had music on the whole time because it was so trafficky.
Wouldn't it be great if the car just drove itself and you were
Wouldn't
just like,
it?
Hey. The whole self-driving car I find very seductive.
Okay, it works. Yay. All right, thanks everybody for watching, hanging out. Have a good day. We'll talk to you tomorrow with Jason Howell. Bye. And patrons, for you, I'm going to talk in double time. No. I don't know. Just thanks. Thanks for making it possible for us to keep doing this.
You guys are awesome, and I love the way you guys support the show, not just monetarily, but also with your encouragement, advice, as well as suggestions for improvements.
So have a nice day.